Many of us need a miracle today. You have been battling things in your life. Many times we rejoice, but there are specific things that the enemy is wanting to infiltrate into your life and in mine. For all the church homes and everybody that is watching online, this includes you. The enemy is coming against you in specific ways, and you know those ways. And you and I must recognize that the power of God is greater. Greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Amen. So with that passion that you just had, let's believe God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we proclaim victory in the midst of a battle, because you won the war. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. By righteousness, our cities are holy. And by power, those that are in authority must submit to the Heavenly Father, the Word of God. And we proclaim that in Jesus' name. In our homes where the enemy has tried to come in and sift us like wheat, no longer we allow that, because we understand the power that we walk in, that your word is greater than any man's words, that the Bible is truth. It's not some book or history book. It is truth. And that truth sets us free. And I proclaim now a blessing over our cities, a blessing over our homes, a blessing over our marriages this week as we celebrate Valentine's Day. And we celebrate relationships. When you're single, you celebrate your family, you celebrate your friends. In Jesus' name, we open up the grace of God through faith. And we open that grace up now. Go ahead and put your hands on your heart. In Jesus' name, healing arises. Restoration arises. In Jesus' name, that dream that you have lost, that you felt like it's not going to take place, that dream is going to come to pass, because God is not a liar. Satan is a liar. And in Jesus' name, I make a proclamation, your dreams will come true according to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. That's right. You may be seated. Today, I want to talk about the Bible. Some of you would say, well, that's kind of unique since you're a pastor. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? The focus today is every one of you in the past year have experienced a focused, demonic, hellish attack on your ability to read the Word of God. This focus says to you, the Word is not as important to you today, or the Bible has errors in it. The Bible's confusing to me now. I'm not hearing what God is saying, or basically I'm not hearing my answer. But we learned in the last series, God is speaking. God is talking to you. God is intimate with you because he loves you. And when you and I are together with God, you're his favorite. God desires to absolutely overwhelm you with his truth. Scripture tells us the Bible is so vital, it describes the Bible as food, bread, as water, drinking, and as breathing or breath. It covers every avenue of the totality of health in every area of your life. So today we're going to have a one-day, one-sermon journey that's called More Than Words, and our subtitle is Breath. In May and June, possibly the beginning or the end of April, we will do a whole series on the whole aspect of the Word of God, more than just words. Because it breaks my heart, everywhere I go, people, when they find out what I do for a living, they have a struggle with the Bible. And so what I'm going to do today is give you a unique understanding and how when you literally, totally believe the Bible as the Word of God, life will manifest to you in every area of your life. So turn to Ezekiel 37, and I'm going to spend about 10 to 15 minutes on the introduction. And I'm going to say a lot of things to you, so if you've got your tablet or whatever, just get ready, get your fingers ready to go, and write things down. But before we get into there, I want to introduce you my brother and sister-in-law. Their names are Glenn and Jerry Wiggins, and they're sitting over here, Terry's brother and sister-in-law. And just wave at them or clap for them and tell them thank you for being here. And last but not least, just remind you, Valentine's is Saturday, and you better be good. So let me start with a statement today. I think in our world, we have, not here, we teach the Word of God, but we have malnourished, dehydrated, and oxygen-depleted Christians. They're not eating their bread. They're not drinking their water. And they're not breathing in the breath of God. We're in a series in April and May and June called More Than Words, so look forward to that. But today, I want to talk about the breath of God. We will talk about the bread. The Bible is our nourishment. The Bible is so nourishing and sustaining, it's daily food. It's a drink of fresh water every time you read the Word of God. But today, breath, the breath of God. So the Bible is like food, the Bible is like water, and the Bible is like air. Science actually tells you and me that how long you can go without food is 40 to 80 days. Some of you, you can only skip lunch. But anyways. Or how long can you go without water? They say from 4 days to 14 days. Well, how long can you go without air? Not very long. So think with that mentality or where I've brought you so far. Again, I think we have malnourished, dehydrated, and oxygen-depleted Christians. They're not eating their bread. They're not drinking their water. They're not breathing in air or the breath of God. So I'm going to show you why I call it the breath of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, stay in Ezekiel, it says, all scripture, not some, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Five words, is given by inspiration Well, six words of God. Then it says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Greek word here is theos neustos. They're two words into one. Theos means God, theo. Pneuma, which means breath, or neustos means breathed. So the word theos neustos means God breathed. That's why I have the term breath. And God breathed, and it was given by inspiration of God, or God breathed. The NIV says this, all scripture is God breathed. Now let me just give you a little bit more of the Greek mentality here. The word pneuma is air. We have words in our English language with a word like pneumonia. You have trouble breathing. Breathing in, breathing out. Or pneumatic means powered or runs by air, a tool that is run by air. So here's what we need to know. All scripture is breathed by God. We're talking about the Bible. Okay, so stick with me. That is what we called the inspiration of scripture. So follow me. The word inspired literally means to breathe in. So when you are inspired by something, you're breathing in. Inspired has a secondary meaning, to breathe an idea, or gives you, when you're inspired, you have a motivation to do something as a person. So you're motivated to do something. Such as, I was inspired when I went to church. I was inspired with an idea. The literal word here, inspired, means to breathe in. We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about reading scripture. So when we talk about the inspirational, and or we could say expiration of scripture, it is eternal. Because God is eternal, and Scripture, the Bible, came from God. Because it has no expiration date. So when you hear, well, that was written many years ago, it doesn't apply today. No. God breathed in His Word into men, and men wrote. God not only inspired Scripture by breathing in the Word to those who wrote it, He expired, which means to breathe it out, to breathe it into man. Okay, what did I just say? God went, spoke His Word. When you speak words, you breathe out. So when we're looking at the Bible, it's not just a historical book. It's not just, it is what was breathed out by God into man and inspired man to breathe it out by writing it down. And the same principle happens with you and me every time we get in Scripture. God breathing in to us and us breathing out. And as we speak the Word of God, it brings life. It brings life. Stay with me now. He expired, which means it came from God. 2 Peter, stay in Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, let me say it one more time, knowing this first, please put this first. Put Scripture first because it will change your life. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by God, the Holy Spirit. So in other words, God, the Holy Spirit, breathed out, expired the word of God and breathed it into men, and then they wrote being inspired or filled with the breath of God. Every time you read the word, you are drinking in, you are bringing in the word of God. And every time you proclaim scripture in your home, in your family, in your business, in your job, you are expiring, you are setting out the power, the breath of God. And it moves everything you talk to because it brings inspiration. But there are a lot of believers that don't read the word. Or if they do, they do it because they're supposed to. But we need to begin to look at it as, it's my food, it's my drink, and it's God, Him speaking into me. Wow. Let's continue. That very reasoning and understanding and revelation, this helps you with inerrancy of Scripture. What do I mean by that? The Bible has no errors. Oh, but Pastor, I heard, I Googled. And the reason why it has no errors, listen, we're talking about God's word. We're talking about what was expressed out of God. God breathed. We have battles about translations today. Because if it came from the mouth of God, it cannot have errors. That's how awesome the Bible we have that we read. If we deny the inerrancy of Scripture, you and I also will have to deny the inspiration of Scripture. If we have doubt of the Bible, doubt of where it came from, then we have to deny that it came from God. I get those questions all the time. People find out I'm a pastor, and they want to argue about the inerrancy of Scripture. The Bible has errors. What do I believe? You can't say it came out of the mouth of God because it has errors. See, because God is perfect, it can't have error. So then you deny both. Had a conversation with Pastor Dan, and he and I and Pastor Ryan and many have studied the inerrancy of Scripture. And we could go testimony, story after story in the Bible. How in the world did that happen? Because it came from God. The prophetic words that came to pass 700 years before, 150 years before, 120 years before, that things manifested. Because we have to realize the Bible is truth. And the enemy in the past year, you've heard it in your movies, you've heard it in your songs, you've heard it in your favorite song of country or whatever you listen to, that comes against the inerrancy of Scripture. Here's another way of saying this. If you believe God breathed the word, but it has errors, then you're the one that can pick and choose what is right or wrong. And then you become God in your own life. And I feel sorry for those people. Let me say a little bit more and get a little bit stronger here. You love your pastor, right? Amen. Amen. Some of you said amen. I can't believe the arrogance, I used that word last week, of a person who they think they can judge the Word of God. Matter of fact, those people need to be fearful. If you're watching online, don't shut me out like a lot of people do when they hear things that they don't agree with. You need to be fearful about your life when you judge the Bible and saying it's full of errors. Because according to the Bible that I read, I am judged by the Word of God. It's very serious because it's a very serious thing what the enemy is trying to do in our world today. The Bible, according to the Scripture, says holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. Jesus actually said, if you speak against the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven. This is a question I get addressing the inerrancy of Scripture. And they're sincere. They really are. The topic is, I believe in the inerrancy entirely free from error of Scripture. That's what I say to them all the time. But you don't know. If you go to the NIV, you know, they remove the blood or they do this. I know all that stuff. I'm talking about, is the Bible breathed by God? Is Scripture breathed by God? They ask, what versions are you using, are you teaching from? And when I ministered 10 years in the South, they're very serious and they're sincere. And they ask, are you teaching from the King James? I said, no, the New King James. I'm not making fun of them because they're sincere. But the reality is, the Bible is the truth. Doesn't matter because inerrancy doesn't refer, watch this, to translation. The inerrancy of God doesn't refer to translation. Inerrancy refers to the original language. Then we translate it in different languages. Many in the world think English will be spoken in heaven. How do you know? Maybe a little Japanese. Keiko, Pastor Dan's learning Japanese. He's getting ready. Or German. How about Mandarin? But, you know, we all know it's going to be Spanish, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right, Pastor Angel? Yeah. You can tell your church this afternoon about that. Inerrancy always refers to the original documents inspired by God and hand-wrote in Hebrew and in Greek from those he spoke to. So back to the question. I'm still in introduction here. What version are you using? Because there's no doubt that maybe some of those do have errors. But let me tell you something about the Word of God. We are born again by the Word of God, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will never pass away. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God will stand forever. The angels, mighty in strength, watch over the Word to perform it. The Word will never return void, but will accomplish that which God wants it to. The Word is light to those who find it and health to those in their body. It's sweeter than honey and purer than gold. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the soul and spirit. Church family, the Word of God stands forever. And we need to love the Word of God. Listen, please. I can't make you believe in God. Matter of fact, the only way to be saved is what we learned by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. You're going to have faith to believe in God and receive Him, and you're going to have to choose. Just like that, I can't make you believe the Bible, that it's the Word of God. I'll tell you, once you believe in God, your life will change. And also, if you believe The Bible is God's word, and it becomes a daily part of your life, like food, like drink, and like breathing in God's word, your life will change big time. You then will have a standard, and you will have life. That's my introduction. Now let me give you quickly 4 points. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 10. I believe Pastor Ryan spoke on this quite a while ago. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Please notice in this scripture, bones, not skeletons, bones unattached. All right? Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Bottom line, I could add to that, error. I'm not adding to it. Bottom line, he's saying, I don't know, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Notice the power when God speaks. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Think of the introduction. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. Oh boy. And the bones came together, bone to bone. So this is when skeletons took place. And now he's going to put skin, and they'll begin to look like human beings. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Think of the introduction. Also, he said to me, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, and an exceedingly great army. Let me give you the 4 points. First of all, number one, the breath of God brings understanding. He looked out and had all the bones, and they were all over the place, spread everywhere. There was confusion. In our world, there's confusion. What brings understanding is Scripture. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. I don't know, but you know. My point, if you're going to judge by the Bible whether you can understand it or not, I feel sorry for you. In other words, that certain Bibles, that's why there's confusion. There are things that you will not understand like the prophet. He could have said, God, what are you saying to me? I don't get this. But see, we find out that he was hearing the word of God and allowing that word. He was eating that word. He was breathing in that word. He was drinking in the word of God. And because of that, it brought him understanding by the obedience. We believe by faith. There are things you will not understand, but if you just say by faith, God, I don't know, but you know, let me know. God is saying to Ezekiel, is this logically possible? And Ezekiel answered, I don't have a clue. There's sometimes in your life you don't have a clue what to do. And I'm a poet and didn't know it. Sometimes you don't have a clue. Sometimes you don't know why. Sometimes your emotions are just going everywhere. And the first thing that happens, the Holy Spirit says, draw unto me. Eat my bread. Drink. And breathe in. See, if you never breathe in, you'll never be able to breathe out. I know I'm trying to develop a lot of cliches on this, but you have to it's a principle. It is so easy to understand Scripture. I don't have a clue. Well, what about this? Can a man walk on water? I don't know. But you know, God. Have you ever done this at the beach? God, I'll just believe in you and I'm going to walk on water. What happens to you? You sink. How can a man walk on water? I don't know that either. How did Jesus walk on water? But I know if God wants me to, I can. I don't understand it, but I can. He could cause another human being to walk on water. Look what Ezekiel experienced. He just had to obey. He drank in what God said, and he expired. He spoke out what God said. Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. The Word of God. How many times have you made this statement? I wish I just could understand what I was going through. If I could just understand what God is teaching me right now, it's God's Word. And it's His breath, the Word of God, that will give you understanding. So powerful. Bible says in 1 Peter 3, live with your wives with understanding. You want to know how to have a great Valentine's Day? Spend every day until then drinking in the Word of God. So that when you're with your wife or, ladies, with your husband, you can expire, you can breathe out the Word of God. Which, it came from God, and guess what? God is love. You want to know how to walk in pure love? Breathe in the Word of God so that you can breathe out the Word of God. So read the owner's manual about your wives, guys, because it came from the manufacturer. Here's my second point. The breath of God brings order. Brings order in your life. Ezekiel 37, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded by God, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, suddenly and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. In other words, order was brought in the situation. The bones became skeletons by the breath of God, the Word of God. Ezekiel spoke God's word, and order came to his chaos. When you speak the word of God, it will bring order to the chaos you are facing in your life. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Genesis 1, 2 and 3. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the question is, why did something come into being or order manifest? Because God breathed. Or breathed out. The breath of God brought order to chaos. And it works for you and me too. That's why the enemy is telling you this past year, All through, you see it all around, even in Super Bowl halftime. Not a Christian nation. Amen. You're seeing it. That's why I'm watching the Turning Point halftime show. You can clap for that. Everybody online, watch Turning Point. Here's the third point. The breath of God brings strength. Ezekiel 37:6, I will put sinews on you. Verse 8, indeed as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. Now the sinew is the tendons that connect the muscle to the bone. I had a football injury. I say football injury. It's not like I was playing this championship game. I was right down the street here playing football, marrieds against the singles at Valley Community Church. And I was running the kickoff around the right when I used to be fast. And I planted my right foot. And one of my guys saw a guy behind me that was trying to catch up to me. I wanted to tell him, no one can catch me. No, I was kidding. And I planted my foot and his knee, and he's about 100 pounds heavier than I was. His knee met mine, and guess who lost? And my sinew, my tendon went pop. And so when I tried to walk, my leg was just like, because it wasn't attached. And the reality is this is talking about the strength. And now I can go to the club, I can run, I can lift weights, I can squat, I can do all the different things. And there's strength there. Why is that? Because the tendons are connected. So the last point, God brought structure to your life, but you also need the power of God. When you have order, then you need the power of God. It's the Word of God. When you are in the Word of God, and it brings power, it brings strength to your walk, because you literally are proclaiming God's Word, God's heart. The Bible tells us this: the Father is looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when you combine reading this word, the Bible, with receiving the Holy Spirit, you're going to walk in the power of God. Right after Israel, watch this, crossed the Red Sea, and they sang a song. I believe Miriam wrote this. The song, it's called the Song of Moses, in my opinion. Let's read this. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But you, God, blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. You want to know how God parted the Red Sea? Then he blew again, and he covered them over. And you know, again, they come against the Word of God, and they say, well, you know, the place where they crossed was only 6 inches deep. And you know, I say to one person that said that to me, well, let me tell you something. That's the greatest miracle, because a whole army of Pharaoh drowned in 6 inches of water. Right? See, the ridiculous, I'm using that term, I even wrote it down on the side here, the ridiculous arguments is because they don't believe that the Word of God came from the breath of God. They don't believe that it's nourishment, that it's the bread. And we'll cover that in a few months. And water. The Word of God is my life. Everything I am about, everything I do, everything I think has to be bathed by the Word of God. And that's where I get strength, and that's where I get power and order in my life. Let me close with this. The fourth point, the breath of God brings life. Ezekiel 37:10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. When you read this book, the Bible, you get understanding, your life comes into order, you get the power of God in your life, and then you get life itself being filled with the breath of God so that everywhere you go, you can expire the Word of God, which brings power and changes your life. Changes your life. That's how powerful my Bible is. And let me just tell you, I understand when people say, it's just hard, I'm so busy. I know I'm busy. I'm busy. Last night I'd gone all day long and I went upstairs and I read scripture because I didn't have time all day long. Why is that? Because it's just like going to the Golden Corral and having my liver and onions. Amen. Good. We need to start a Bible study at Golden Corral. Call it the Liver Bible Study, whatever. That's just me. But I need that. As I need food, as I need water, I truly need the breath of God, which gives me life. The breath of God protected Israel. The breath of God gave these disordered bones life. And it gave me life to live on this earth. Now, being born again, I can walk in this power. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So for 46 years, the main thing I can do is feed people the Word of God. For 18 years, I was an associate minister. I carried another man's vision, two of them. And everything I did, I worked hard. There are times I sacrificed many things that I know that I wanted to do. Then when I became a lead pastor, I recognized the time frame that I needed to be able to the Word of God over you. So I spent hours, morning, noon, and night, at times, depending on my schedule, whatever goes on during the week, so that I can the Word of God over you. And it's your choice to believe the Word of God that I'm teaching. It's your choice to be able to say, this is my life. I can't live without it. I will die of thirst if I go more than 14 days. I will literally die spiritually if I go over 80 days without eating. Let's all stand, please. You know how beautiful you are in the kingdom of God? Do you know how God sees you? Okay, I know, guys. Handsome you are. Can you not recognize That when we talk about being in Christ, when we talk about, yes, we know doctrinally, we teach that here. But I'm saying to you, you know what God really wants? For his breath, his word, to be fully inside you. For you to be so excited like I am when I go to Golden Corral. Or when your team scores a touchdown. Or Mama makes her famous fried chicken. Or her tamales. The joy you get out of that. And how you feel eating it. Not how you feel after you eat all that stuff. But how you feel eating it. But I'm telling you, this is your bread. This is your water. And this is your life. The Word of God. I so appreciate you. Everybody, even from this house watching online, I had people text me this morning, Pastor, I won't be there, but I'll be watching you. Hello. But recognize how God set it up perfectly so that he himself will walk with you every single day. And that you will never be alone, ever. Father, in Jesus' name, overwhelm this house with the anointing of your word. Let the love of your word just explode. And the frustrations of the not knowing and all that, let it not steer us away from understanding that the word of God is the breath of God. God himself. And there is no errors, because God himself will make sure that the word that you read will just absolutely be overwhelmed in you. And nothing. Because greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Nothing can harm the very plan that God has for you and your house. Blessings upon all the home churches. Blessings upon everyone that call Valley their church online. Blessings upon this house as we gather together with them. And we say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Word of God is truth, and that truth will set us free. Hallelujah. Go ahead and clap for the Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Let your team win.